And so why don't we join together and lift up our voices as one and offer a thanksgiving and invitation to God. Gracious Father, we thank you again. Come in thanksgiving this morning as we gather together, as we fellowship together to praise and glorify your name. We thank you for our praise team who just has got the Spirit moving within us, who is, we lifted that joyful noise up to you, and now we sit back down and we ask that you, Spirit, come into this place. Move amongst us. Open our hearts and our ears to the truth that I hope will be coming forth from my mouth, that I'm just a mouthpiece, a vessel of truth for you to use. And so use me this morning to speak your truth, and so that we may gain a deeper understanding of why we've gathered here this morning to partake in the Lord's Supper, that we understand its significance, and thus we gain a deeper appreciation for it. So Father, I thank you for being here this morning. I thank you for each one that's in the audience this morning, for bringing them here. And so I ask you, Father, I am weak, but in my weakness, I hope that you will show your power. And in my nervousness, Father, you will show your steadiness. And so we just ask all this and we commit it all to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning again. Like I said, this is a special day because today is the day we get to come to the Lord's table. We get to remember His sacrifice at Calvary by taking the bread and wine this morning. And even when I started way back when, in January, February, I mentioned, one of the first things I mentioned to Jim is that I would really like to do a communion Sunday service. And so I guess today I can say that it's a doubly special day for me because I not only get to come to the table, but I also get to stand up here and deliver that first Communion Sunday message. So one of the reasons I have longed to do a Communion Sunday message is based on what I feel is the unfortunate reality that we as Christians have lost that spiritual significance of the Lord's meal. That meal that Jesus initiated that night before his crucifixion. And so today I'm humbly surrendering myself to the Spirit. I'm praying that he will use me to speak the truth of the meaning behind this meal that we are preparing our hearts to celebrate. I am praying that we'll walk out of here with a deeper understanding of the significance of this meal, and thus a deeper appreciation for it. I hope that we have a deeper appreciation because it's not just a symbolic tradition that we do once a month. That thinking of, oh yeah, I guess it's the first Sunday of the month, I guess we're doing that again. Brothers and sisters, friends, it is so much more than that. The Lord's Supper is so much more significant than that. And we gain a little of this understanding of its significance in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul, you know, wrote a couple letters to the Corinthians. And this morning we're looking at his first letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Starting in verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." Now I want to stop there, brothers and sisters, because I want to make note of where Paul received this. He didn't receive this from the apostles that were telling us what happened that night. We're telling Paul what happened, what occurred that night. He didn't receive this from other believers that he encountered along his way and his travels as he was coming into the fold. As we see, he received this from the Lord directly, and he had already passed this on to the Corinthians. Here he is reminding them what he received and has already passed on to them. Because, like what we, I feel, are moving into, the church at Corinth, those believers were making a mockery of that meal. And so he goes on to say, this is what I have given you, what the Lord has given me. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Friends, do we not see the significance in that last statement that Paul gives of this meal? He says, every time we drink the drink, eat the bread, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Boy, that has great significance for us as believers in the holy righteousness and the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Now, as Methodists, our theological foundation is found in John Wesley, who was a 17th century preacher and reformer. Most of you probably know that Wesley is the founder of Methodism, and so he kind of is our person that we look at when we look at theological issues. And I mention his name this morning because I'm going to rely heavily on his understanding and teaching of what the Lord's Supper is and its significance as to what Wesley termed a means of grace. But also, the title of this sermon this morning, as you may have noticed, is called Carried to the Table. And so, even though I want to talk about the significance and the importance of the Lord's Supper, I want to also speak to those of us who might be here this morning feeling too ashamed or too worthless or too broken to come to the table. And how oftentimes we need to be reminded that Jesus willingly carries us to the table because he sees that worth in us even when we don't. But what about the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? What is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? How are we to better understand and thus have a better appreciation for when we partake in this meal? Well, I think first off, we need to unpack a couple of those theological terms that I mentioned. Mainly, sacrament and means of grace. Some of you have probably heard those terms. But maybe you're not quite sure exactly what they mean. Well, let's look at them. Wesley, in his sermon of the same title, titled Means of Grace, he defined means of grace as outward signs, words or actions ordained by God, He defined means of grace as outward signs, words or actions ordained by God and appointed for this end, that end being to be ordinary channels whereby God might convey to people justifying or sanctifying grace. Wesley held that there were three types of these channels. The first being praying, the second being searching Scripture, and finally our topic this morning, the Lord's Supper. In other words, these are ordinary channels in which God conveys His grace upon the souls of humanity. So having an understanding of Wesley's means of grace flows well with how we can understand sacraments. A sacrament, we can say, is an outward sign of inward grace and a means whereby we receive the same. Simply put, sacraments are not only tokens of Christians' profession, and I don't mean profession in the sense of job, but profession is what we profess. So signs of grace are not only tokens of Christians' profession, but rather they are signs of grace and God's goodwill towards us. They strengthen and confirm our faith in Him. Okay, great. We've unpacked a couple of theological terms. We've gained an understanding of what sacrament is, what means of grace is, means of grace, that receiving of the justifying grace of God. God gives us that saving grace at the cross, but then brings about different ways in which we can receive the justifying grace that He has for us. That we are justified in that blood. And a sacrament, the Lord's Supper, is one way that we can do it. So we've unpacked a couple of those terms. But how does this help deepen our appreciation for the Lord's Supper? Well, using these two ideas, we can say that the Lord's Supper stands for the means by which the effect of God's historic redeeming act in the past is kept alive in the present experience. This connection between the past sacrifice at Calvary and its present reception in the faith community is similar to what Wesley observed when he said, "The design of this sacrament, the design of the Lord's Supper, is the continual remembrance of the death of Christ by eating bread and drinking wine." It is this eating bread and drinking wine that are those outward signs of that inward grace. Simply put, brothers and sisters, the Lord's Supper is a remembrance that entails presence. And friends, this spiritual presence is what I believe has been lost and has brought about that unfortunate reality I spoke about at the beginning. It's become just a tradition, a memory, a day of remembrance. Remembrance. We've taken the presence out of it. The real presence found in this meal is the act in which the Spirit brings Christ to us, expressing that grace and love of God towards us through the means of the bread and wine. There is real presence here this morning, friends. The Spirit is bringing us Christ, expressing that love and grace to us that has already been extended to us at the cross. It's so important that we remind ourselves not of just the death and the redemption, but also the presence involved here, that we worship a living God, that He is present in our midst right now. Beyond this, the sacrificial love displayed at Calvary becomes part of the present community of faith in its celebration, in its overflowing thanksgiving for such a precious gift received. The Supper of the Lord is not only a sign of the love that we as Christians should have for one another, but it is also a sacrament of our redemption in Christ's death. In 1787, John Wesley wrote a sermon titled, "The Duty of Constant Communion." Now, as a little side note, John Wesley often gave himself or with his group of leaders would perform communion amongst themselves about every 5 days. So he felt that it was very crucial to be performing constant communion and communicating with God in that way. But in this discourse, titled "The Duty of Constant Communion," he states, "The grace of God given herein, meaning the Lord's Supper, the grace given herein confirms to us the pardon of our sins by enabling us to leave them." Friends, Christ has pardoned us through His death on the cross, yet He sets up another act for us to have full assurance of that pardoning. Another way in which to receive His justifying grace. That saving grace that was done on the cross is now justified through this act that He initiates in the meal. Friends, He does not want us to have any doubt about our salvation. And He does, and He sets up anything that will help us understand and receive the gifts of His Father. So we see that the Lord's Supper brings the meanings of Christ's death into the present community of faith in a very tangible, sensible, and mediated way that includes presence. Well, now we have some real understanding of the significance of the Lord's Supper. We've unpacked a couple theological terms that go along with it to help our understanding. And I hope by doing so we've gained a little deeper appreciation as we prepare ourselves to come before the table and take the bread and cup. But what about those this morning, again, who are feeling too unworthy, too lost, too ashamed, too broken to come to the table? If there's someone sitting out there right now feeling like that, feeling like you don't belong at the table, I want to reiterate what I said at the beginning, that Jesus will carry us to the table because He sees our worth when we may not. He loves us when even we can't love ourselves. If you're feeling unworthy, friends, if we're honest with ourselves, none of us are worthy to be at that table. None of us deserve the body and blood of Jesus. He freely gave that to us. Friends, if you're not feeling worthy enough this morning, Christ the Father found you so worthy that He sent Jesus for you to die for you. That's how worthy you are to Him. That's how worthy you are to be at that table this morning. Friends, He willingly gave His life for us so that we may have it. Sure, Pastor, that sounds good. I've gained a little understanding of the supper. Gained a little more appreciation for it, but still I don't belong at the table. You know, I haven't opened my Bible in weeks. I don't know the last time I prayed. I've been treating my spouse like dirt. I've been angry at work. I've been this. I've been that. I haven't been good. I'm not good enough to sit at the table. I don't deserve it. Friends, your spot at the table isn't earned. Your spot at the table is not earned by what you do. Christ has set up that spot for you at the table through His death. That spot is there waiting for you, and He has invited you to dine with Him this morning, to partake in His grace this morning. None of us are worthy, yet He calls us by name. And if we need to, He carries us to the table because we are worthy in His eyes. And so friends, if you're feeling that way, fall into Jesus' arms. Fall into His arms. Allow Him to carry you to the table. Yes, yes. Our spot isn't earned, like I said, but yes, there is a part that we do by committing ourselves to Jesus, committing ourselves to His life, to His death and resurrection, to repent of our sins, to ask Him for that pardon. And so if you haven't made that commitment, if you want to come to the table, that spot on the table that's already set up for you, but you haven't taken a hold of it, come and take a hold of it this morning. Say, Jesus, I want to take my spot at the table. I don't know how, but I commit myself to You. I commit myself to You, Lord, and I want to eat with You this morning. I can't get there on my own, Lord. Maybe You need to carry me. Fall into His arms, and He will carry you to the table, friends. As we pass around the bread and the cup, we're going to play a song titled, Carried to the Table. Now, many of you may have heard this. Some may have not. But this song is really for those sitting here feeling unworthy this morning, feeling like you don't belong at the table. The words in this song, they're up on the screen, but As we receive the bread and the wine, let the words hit you. Christ's sacrifice brings us worthiness. He brings us His righteousness through His death. He passes that on to us. And so we remember that as we take this. It's much more of a better sermon than I could ever give in these words to those of us who are hurting and feeling like we don't belong. But we do belong because the Master has called us by name. So let us prepare ourselves, prepare our hearts for this meal. Let the words sink into your soul, into your heart, and find the worthiness that God has already shown at Calvary. We are all worthy to be at the table because of Jesus' sacrifice.